Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
I know we skipped the week last week, but can you believe the DeSantis campaign announcement still falls within this two-week cycle that we're currently in right now?
Yeah, that was something. We are definitely going to talk about it. There was a movie in the early 2000s called Failure to Launch. I believe that should be the subtitle to Ron DeSantis' campaign. But we will definitely get into it. What a loser. Really working on Meatball Ron as a nickname. Really solidifying it quite
a lot. Oh, my God.
What a fucking idiot. But there is plenty of
I've got so many things to say about it when we get there. So
yeah. Look, I love the technology fail. That's my favorite. That's my second favorite part. But we'll get to it. All right. So a couple of stories we're not going to talk about. We're doing this again because, you know, there's so many stories, but they are worth noting. Your boy, One Eye Willie, what's his face, from the Oath Keepers, he was found guilty.
Sentenced
to what, 18 years?
Our boy was defiant in the face of a harsh sentence. He was stuck to his guns, which is great because there's a very good chance that he might die in prison, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rhodes' whole point is like, look, I be, you know, it's like that joke, like, you got to give it to him. Like, no, you don't got to give it to him. Look, if you're going to go down with the ship, man, I guess, you know, stand tall and, you know, say the shit you believe. It ain't going to fucking save you.
Here's the best part. Ready for the best part? People are like, oh, he might get out super early on good behavior. He's in federal prison, Jack. You got to serve at least 3/4 of your sentence before you're allowed to get out early.
I thought it was like 85% or something. Like,
it's probably somewhere around there. Yeah. It's like, a lot. It's a significant amount of the sentence that you have to serve before you can even be considered for early release.
Yeah, this ain't regular fucking prison. And look, I love it. Like, good. That guy is going to at least be in jail for a decade, which is fucking fantastic.
If we do the job.
That is correct. Which is my next point, which was when it comes to Rhodes and any of these January 6th folks, if you don't get Biden back in office, they will be pardoned. You can guarantee it, which is a really dangerous and scary thing. This, much like the Supreme Court being in the hands of Republicans, don't listen to extreme left people tell you this doesn't matter. It really matters.
I think that Biden could campaign on that if his opponent is Trump.
Absolutely.
He could even use that as a point. Like, if this guy wins, he's going to pardon these insurrectionists. And then Trump would be like, you're damn right I am. And normal people would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because look, if you're kind of following this stuff, you may know that Trump has said on the stump a bunch that he's going to pardon the January 6th folks. DeSantis has said he would consider it as well, kind of basically just mirroring Trump, just trying to sound a little bit more reasonable, but let's get real, he would. But if you're not like regular folks who have lives, not like us, you haven't heard this. But for Biden to goad him in a debate to say it, yeah, no, that's a good move. I agree with you. I would absolutely campaign on it, and I would absolutely get him to say it on the record during that debate. Like, all right, dude, those guys broke the law. Cops were killed. A cop committed suicide, suffering so much sort of, you know, mental anguish after all of that, and you still think that this is a cool thing to do, to try to destroy democracy? Okay, like, just you say it on tape, dude. I'm not saying it. You say it. And look, I guess we're just waiting on finding out what amount of years, you know, the Proud Boys are going to get as they've been found guilty. If you're watching this on video, I've shaved my face by mistake in hope that Enrique Terrio gets a million years in prison. Life lesson, always check your electric razor setting before putting it to the side of your face.
That's right. Look out for Jay on New York Undercover on Fox starting this fall.
Dude, I don't want to look like a cop because all cops are bastards. But for the next couple of days, that is my fate. It is. Yikes. It's better than me looking 12 and shaving my entire face before the show.
That is true. 100%. Yes.
It's not a good look.
Still my favorite picture of you ever is you in the airport after getting back from Singapore, just like with that goofy look on your face in the wave.
Yes. No, that's after I landed. I had been in the air for 20 hours. My brain was just a mess, and I had a clean shaven face like a young child. Looked ridiculous. Let's jump into it. Biden versus the Republicans on the debt ceiling deal. Look, I feel like this is being it is an interesting time, right? Because we are in a post-Trump mm-hmm. era, because Republicans are completely unrealistic in their behaviors and are just acting completely nuts around literally everything, let alone the debt ceiling, people have been framing this deal that they've come up with. The vote has not happened, but this deal has been struck to not let the full faith and credit of the United States go to shit, let alone crashing the entire world economy. It seems weird that we even have to debate what the right idea is.
It is.
But people are framing this in a weird way, which is they're not calling out the Biden administration or in the Democrats for caving on this when they did not have to, which I think mm-hmm. – I mean, good. That's good for Biden, I guess, right? From a narrative perspective. But for me, I'm like, why did you cave on using the 14th Amendment? You should have never caved on it. You should have fucking held strong to that, and you should have called their bluff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Look, if the Supreme Court wants to tell you don't have the authority to do that, and thus throwing the world economy into shit, let them. I guarantee you they won't. They won't. They have too much shit invested themselves. They won't. So fucking... you know, sack up and be like, call it bluff. Okay, you don't do it. 14th Amendment. Fuck off. And just do it. Fuck them.
So, I don't know. It's weird, right? Because, so the Republicans are holding this up. And what they're negotiating for is essentially the same shit they'd be negotiating for this fall when the budget comes back up
again. That's correct.
So they're basically trying to, like, negotiate for the budget, and I guess they're doing it now because they can frame it as the Democrats are getting the raising of the debt ceiling as the concession, and we're getting all this stuff cut to the budget. But they probably could have gotten that stuff anyway, and Democrats are still protecting a lot of the programs that they want to protect, even in these negotiations regardless, so the budget's still going to kind of end up where it probably would have this fall, with the debt ceiling stuff aside. Which really means that Republicans were holding the debt ceiling hostage for nothing, equivocally, like except just to kind of flex.
I mean, and they don't care
and about show their power.
They don't care about the debt ceiling. I mean, it's obvious. Like the second they get this deal, they don't like. They immediately run to "We got screwed. We got screwed. We got screwed." Like,
right?
Okay, like. What is the purpose of this besides conflate the debt ceiling raise with the budget? Those are two wildly different things.
They're two incredibly different things. Biden is not out here touting it on purpose. Like he literally was asked by a reporter, like, why aren't you touting the deal? And he's like, I don't think Biden thinks this is a great deal, is a great message to get out there right now. This is why you suck at negotiating. He literally said that to a reporter.
That's why you suck.
And he's right, because if Biden comes out there is like, I fucking love this deal, all of a sudden Republicans are gonna be like, we fucking hate this deal, and they're gonna fucking close ranks. Yeah. Right. And get there. And where we're probably gonna end up, and weirdly enough, the most astute explainer of this was Matt Gaetz, of all people. That's where we're going to end up is you're going to get like a majority of Democrats in the House that will approve this. You're going to get a small majority of Republicans in the House that are going to approve this. The people that aren't going to approve this are on the far sides of both parties. So like the progressives and like the Freedom Caucus are not going to go for it. And for something that has to be bipartisanly legislated, I'm not saying that they're going to arrive at what I feel is the correct solution, mm-hmm. but it's the solution that it was probably always going to end up being at, where right. the middle of the parties or the middle of the government and like the normal parts of the parties are like, this is cool. And only the people on the far outs are just like, you gave way too much. And the people on the far right are, you didn't get enough. But ultimately it's just kind of sitting there where we always would have ended up to avoid a government shutdown in September.
Right. Yeah. Look, I guess my issue is you made the point 2 weeks ago that one of the biggest things that the Democrats never did and that they should do is take the bullet out of the gun and stop allowing for this to even be an issue. And for me, I 100% agree with that. And I think the 14th Amendment would have been the way, like, either this becomes a big fight and it didn't work and it continues to be a fight, or it does work and then you're done with this shit. Like, take a risk.
Well, here's what's funny. So you still could potentially do that, because this deal apparently pushes the next time that we have to do this right. to 2025. So that means it's going to be after the new president is it, or still Biden has been seated, and we have the 2024 elections. So he could still, well, I guess that's the problem too. Biden can't invoke the 14th Amendment, because you literally would have to have the debt ceiling like the debt ceiling deadline pass. You'd have to be like, we're paying our bills anyway, and then you'd get sued, and that's what would kind of trigger the crisis, quote unquote. I think that there's a potential, not a guarantee, but I think there's a potential that you could get some Republicans possibly to come to the table to just fucking suspend this, or do what, again, I can't believe I'm saying this, what Mitch McConnell suggested not that long ago, whereas you pass a law where that the debt ceiling being increased is the default, and then if you want to stop it from happening, you have to then pass a bill to stop it from happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like kind of do it whereas the reverse.
I'm actually
where it's like,
not
hey,
mad at that idea. That's actually
where it's like, hey, this is going to happen unless for some reason we really think it shouldn't, and then we can get a consensus in government to say like, whoa, pump the brakes. We have to slow down on this, which would never happen. Like, they would never fucking do that.
Fuck no.
That would be dumb. So I think there's a chance
that
you could
that
get Republicans.
He said that.
I know.
That really...
well, because he's not an idiot, because he knows that over the same barrel, not that Democrats would ever do this, but like over the same barrel, they don't want to have that that bullet in the gun to be used against them. So, like, I totally get where they're coming from.
Right.
And that's why I think you might have room to negotiate with them to be like, hey, like, if Trump wins or if DeSantis wins, you don't want us to do this shit to you, do you? Or, you know, and then that kind of shit. So,
yeah, maybe they should start laying the groundwork. Like, fucking Trump's getting in. We're coming for you, motherfuckers. Like, but the problem is Democrats are cowardly. In a lot of ways, like they just
it's not even cowardly. Like, they're just not willing to do dumb shit for the sake of you know,
right.
winning
they
stuff.
Look, I do think they're cowardly, but I also think that they are oftentimes the adults in the room. And when you're the adult in the room, it is so much easier to be the terrorist and go, let's just blow it up. I don't give a shit. And you're like, yeah, but like, we gotta. Like, look what all will happen if we don't do the right things, if we don't come to the table. And Republicans, as much as they are giant children and they are, you know, in this case, sort of financial terrorists in that regard, opposed to them just being general domestic terrorists in other regards, they do this because they're not stupid. Some of them are. But the sort of the power brokers of that party, they realize that Democrats are always trying to save the hostage. They don't want to shoot the hostage. And they use that kindness, I guess is the right word, against Democrats. And it's irritating because, like, for once, I'm just like, dude, just shoot the hostage in the knee.
Right. Democrats need to be more of a Keanu Reeves in that situation.
Yeah. You know, like, hot shot. What do you do? Like, bam, shoot him in the knee. Like, yo, what the fuck? And then it's like, yeah, but I saved the world. Right. Like, sometimes you have to do that. And I feel like they're so gun shy to do that. Maybe we should just send, just constantly send, like drop them like leaflets, copies of Speed. Like just drop them on the stairs of Congress and be like, do that. Come on, man. Like do that. We're just that scene. So yeah, look, Matt Gaetz is not incorrect. Incidentally, I also have a story about Matt Gaetz with a debt ceiling that I thought was really funny. Yes. Matt Gaetz reminding Kevin McCarthy.
Well, that's the other half of that coin.
Yeah,
the other half like, of that coin. So
Matt Gaetz reminding Kevin McCarthy. He's like, hey man, don't forget who the fuck runs the show over here. Remember what you agreed to, bitch. Which he came out.
It ain't
like,
you.
Yeah, it ain't you. He came out and he was like, listen, if a majority of Republicans are against the piece of legislation and use Democrats to pass it, you would immediately be a black letter violation of the deal that we had with McCarthy to allow his ascent to speakership. And it would likely trigger an immediate motion to vacate. So if you don't remember what the motion to vacate is, that means that at any time a Republican can come up, one Republican can come up and say, I would like to basically invoke a vote to get Kevin McCarthy the fuck out of the speakership. And so this is one of the sort of black letter laws that they agreed to, which is if you pass a law and the majority of Republicans don't agree with it, but you pass it with a majority of Democrats, you're getting the fuck out of here. So they better, I mean, it looks like they'll probably be fine on the debt ceiling, but he better never get close. So what is it? If they have like less than 160 or something like that, Republicans on board for any bill, like he's done. So Gaetz coming out and saying, well, you know, I don't expect that to happen, but don't fucking forget like what you signed up for, motherfucker.
I'm honestly surprised that he's willing, that the threshold they're willing to hold him to is just a majority of Republicans. Quite honestly.
Yeah. What would you think it would be?
I would imagine that like if like fucking Marjorie Taylor Greene gets mad at him for because enough. She didn't want something to pass and like that was enough.
I mean, there's nothing stopping her.
But then again,
there's nothing stopping her.
Then again, they do have to be careful with that because again, they can call the motion to vacate, but then they actually have to like pass it. And again, easier said than done if the vast majority of Republicans are on Kevin McCarthy's side in that situation. So
we'll see. It's funny because he says, you know, last week he goes, you know, he mentions this whole thing last week and he's like, nobody but the media is talking about that. And then this week he's like, hey, by the way, I'm talking about it now. Don't fuck around. Look, man, you signed a deal with the devil, man. Best of luck. Just best of luck. So, look, it is important to understand what's in this debt ceiling deal. New York Times has a pretty good breakdown. Basically, it's going to allow the debt ceiling to, again, raise, you know, like basically not be an issue until 2025, like Brad mentioned. They are cutting the deal suspends the nation's $31.4 trillion borrowing limit until January 2025. It also cuts or changes the benefits or work requirements for people who are getting SNAP or, you know, like food stamps, that sort of thing. They are clawing back money that they sent to the IRS to, you know, do their jobs because that was a dumb thing Republicans just made up. They just made it up. Like, oh, they're going to hire these agents to come and shoot you in the head and take your guns or whatever. It's like, nah, dude, they're just trying to process your tax returns faster.
They hired 87,000 agents just to investigate Donald Trump. That's what they did.
I mean, they should. I mean, I feel like 6 would probably be enough. I don't think you need 81 more, but yeah, whatever. Like, look, I believe it's not tipping. I believe it's over tipping. So it's fine. So yeah, the bill cuts so-called non-defense discretionary because, of course, you're not going to cut defense. Why? Why would we, guys? Why would we?
I do enjoy how in the wake of this, people like the press is rightly pointing out like literally half of our over $800 billion a year defense budget goes to contractors. And that contractors are famous for fucking ripping off the DoD in terms of services rendered.
Yeah, of course.
That's the funny thing. Like, people always are like, oh, well, you know, if you cut these defense budgets, like, oh, you're not going to be able to pay our service people, and you're not going to... No, you just fucking cancel a shitload of contracts. Like, that's all you have to fucking do.
Yep. Like, we don't need money saved. I mean, our military is what, larger than like the next 25 or 50 militaries combined? Like,
combined, yes.
And most of them are our allies. Like, we don't need to be spending this much on defense. And look,
no.
If you cut, I would argue you could cut the defense budget in half, like just hard line cut it in half. But even that would never fly in America. I get it. Fucking, we love guns or whatever shit, right? And just narratively, like, Republicans would go crazy. The news would, like, half-ass report it. And people are like, there's no money for fucking service members. Like, all right, that's not true. But even if you cut it down by a quarter, right, you just take a quarter off and said, hey, we're going to take this off. You could take that money and just do domestic spending.
Yeah.
And do amazing things. And we're just like, nah.
It's infrastructure year.
Yeah. Like... I mean, we could. We just every year just take a quarter off of what we would do to the defense budget and be like, this is all infrastructure, best bridges and subways and fucking, you know, public transportation. We could just make this country amazing. We just refuse. And we're like, but what if we bought another jet from Boeing to blow up poor brown people on the other side of the planet? Like, you know what? You're right. So the bill cuts so-called non-defense discretionary, which includes domestic law enforcement, forest management, scientific research, and more. That's curious. So it cuts domestic law enforcement? Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Like
Joe Biden's defunding the police, just like he promised on the campaign trail.
Yeah, finally. He, with the help of Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans, right. He did it. It would limit all discretionary spending to 1% growth in 2025, which is effectively a budget cut. The legislative text also has you'll have until August, I believe, to then start paying back your student loans. That has been on hiatus since the pandemic. That's sort of a big one. Look, man. The cuts are not horrendous. Like, they were definitely worse when Obama fucking caved to this shit before during his presidency, but they're not great. I obviously have a real problem with, you know, the student loan forgiveness or the hiatus ending. That just feels like the economy is still shit. People are still struggling with jobs and everything else. Perhaps. Maybe, just maybe, you don't try to fuck over a large swath of the country. By the way, you're not just fucking over, you know, quote unquote, blue voters. There's plenty of red state voters who have really benefited from this, but Republicans are shameless, so they don't really give a shit.
Yeah, I hope that Democrats can effectively message that. You know, they can come and be like, look, like, we didn't want to cut shit. Like, they made us do it. Sorry. Like we didn't want you to start paying your student loans back either. Just saying.
Yeah. I'm hoping that actually that works. I'm not so sure that it will, but I can't
wait until we do this shit all over again in September, because despite the fact that Republicans were negotiating for the budget in this deal, I guarantee you they still fucking try to get more when we actually go to pass the budget, because they suck ass.
100%. Like, there's no doubt about that. New work requirements for government benefits. The legislation would impose new work requirements on older Americans who receive food stamps through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, and who receive aid from the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families Program.
Note what we're not hearing in there. Any rollbacks of the Trump tax cuts, which Republicans very much want to make sure that they protect, because, you know, that's smart spending. You know, that, like, even though we're adding, right, you know, $10 trillion to the debt over 10 years, like, that's still spending we want to make, because, you know, our donors.
Amazing. Just like, stop playing this game. Like, fuck these guys. Figure out a way to get in power. Get the Congress that you want, and day fucking one, we are no longer doing this. We're no longer doing
yep.
it. Like, just knock it the fuck
out. Again, just it should be motivation. If we had won, we had managed to keep hold of the House last election, again, we did an amazing job keeping what we did.
Yeah.
But if we'd been able to hang on to the House, this would have been a non-factor.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have had to deal with this shit.
And again, to your point, don't just keep raising it when you're in power. End this shit. Hey, yeah. man, here's a law. The shit auto upgrades or, auto increases, and then we're done. Like, stop allowing this to be a thing that we are fighting about every single year or every couple of years.
Again, I've said it before. I will say it again. There are two countries in the world, us and Denmark, and Denmark's debt ceiling is so high it effectively might as well not even be there, quite honestly.
Right.
So we're the only ones.
We're just fighting to fight. It's really silly.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about your boy, Donald J. Trump. Trump captured on tape talking about classified documents he kept after leaving the White House. Womp, womp, womp. So apparently, federal prosecutors have obtained an audio recording of a summer 2021 meeting in which former President Donald Trump acknowledged he had held on to classified Pentagon documents about a potential attack on Iran. Multiple sources told CNN, undercutting his argument that he declassified everything. So, best of luck trying to explain that one. Idiot. The recording indicates Trump understood he retained classified material after leaving the White House, according to multiple sources. On the recording, Trump's comments suggest that he would like to share the information, but he's aware of limitations on his ability post-presidency to declassify records. So he even knows that post-presidency that he cannot declassify shit, and people will still defend this guy. It's amazing to me.
They have a term in the law for that kind of thing. It's called consciousness of guilt.
Yep, mens reis. Like,
yeah.
Hey, dum-dum. Probably shouldn't have said that out loud. Yeah. I love that. Oh, no, dude. I definitely cannot declassify anything after I'm president. By the way, hide all those documents. Fuck the White House. Like,
I mean, again, when his interview... Like I said, when in many interviews, he's like, I didn't do this, but also I could, but also I did. Why are we surprised?
Also, you can't.
About this, right?
Like, the fact that, like, it's one thing
I'll never forget that Hannity interview. I'll never forget that. You wouldn't do that. Like, oh, sure I would. Sure I would.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only would I have. Like, it's hilarious because that idea that he knows, he actively knew that post-presidency he cannot declassify anything, and then to go on to, oh, I declassified it in my mind. Like, oh, really? What day was it? Fuck, it was the day after. God damn it. I meant to say the day before I left. Like, it's hilarious. Like, it's just funny and it's pathetic, and I cannot wait for to hear people try to jump through hoops to justify this. Well, I mean, maybe he thought that, like, no, dude, he's literally on tape saying, yeah, I'm breaking the law. This shit is awesome. Yeah. Like, he's a literal crimes guy. So, yeah, I just love that. On the recording, he actually knew about the limitations of the post-presidency. Yeah, you can't defend this at this point. So, best of luck, Jack Smith. Hopefully, he already has this tape, but hopefully will.
I'm sure.
Use it like a fucking noose around your neck to hang you with. CNN has not listened to the recording, but multiple sources have described it who have heard it. One source said that the relevant portion on the Iran document is about 2 minutes long, and another source said that the discussion is a small part of a larger meeting. Yeah, there's another great line here. Special Counsel Jack Smith, who is leading the Justice Department investigation into Trump, has focused on this meeting as part of a criminal investigation into Trump's handling of national security secrets. Sources describe the recording as, quote, an important piece of evidence in a possible case against Trump, who has repeatedly asserted that he could retain presidential records and automatically declassify them. Yeah, your boy's fucked. Like, I don't know. I don't know. This is like the end of a James Bond movie. Well, how the fuck is James going to get out of this one? Like, I don't know, man. Like, there's, like, Lordy, there's tapes. Like, this.
There's a really easy way that he could get out of this one. And that's if, like, Merrick Garland decides, well, you know, he is running for president, and I don't think we want to set the precedent of not, you know, of charging a guy who's running for president, lest we look like we're putting our thumb on the scale. I'm just like, bro, the fact that he's running for president should be the reason that you go ahead and charge him, right? Because it would be extraordinarily bad for this guy to be running the country again.
Right. And also, him running for president is actually him putting his thumb on the scale to try to tilt it to his face. Right. He's only running. Well, two reasons. He's running because of ego. Right. He's got a massive fucking ego. And the other part is he's trying to cover for himself. That's it.
Correct.
That's it.
Again, I want to point out.
He wouldn't give a shit.
I want to point out that 50 years ago, the Department of Justice was so gung-ho to be like, we got to get rid of wrongdoers in the government, that they were like, holy shit, like, we got to fuck up. We got to charge Nixon with shit. But also, before we do that, we got to charge Spiro Agnew, because it would be really bad if we charged Nixon and then Agnew became president as well. Right, like, that would be awful.
Right, because he was taking fucking cash bribes in the White House, like, straight up envelopes of money. Like, that's right. Fucking bring it over. Yeah, like, this idea that the government now, the Department of Justice, is so, like, mealy-mouthed about this type of shit is ridiculous. Like you said, like, they went after Nixon and also after his VP. Like, we got to get these guys knocked out in the proper order.
They specifically kept their powder dry on Nixon to get Agnew first.
To get Agnew out first, yeah.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, you're going to have to hire a fucking lackey to be vice president first before we knock your ass out of here. Which was smart on their part. Like, look, Garland has an opportunity and Jack Smith have an opportunity to not just do the right thing, because the right thing is obvious, right? Like, the right thing has been obvious for some time. But also make history of showing that, hey, man, like, the Department of Justice does what it says it's going to do. It enforces justice, even when it's, you know, the highest position in the land. Like, you still do.
Well, again, Jack Smith is in the Mueller position. The thing that Jack Smith can do that Mueller didn't do is actually make a fucking recommendation. Like that's where Mueller fucked up, is that he was like, I'm just going to lay the facts out, and I'm not going to say whether or not he should be indicted. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Like, I'm not going to actually fucking say it, but I'm going to kind of say it, but I'm not going to come out and say it. And then, of course, Bill Barr was like, oh, he said it exonerated him. I'm just like, that's why you got to just fucking say it. So I would assume, because Trump isn't the president, Jack Smith can come out and be like, yeah, like, this dude's guilty as fuck. Charge him.
Right. And that is the benefit Jack Smith has. He is actually working in a DOJ under an administrator. That's under an administration that is not, like, they're not trying to shape this going the other way. They're just letting it play out, right? That clearly not an easy thing for Mueller to have to have dealt with. And again, Mueller made the grave mistake of believing in the system. The system was already off the rails, my man. Like, the system let a psychopath in. You got to just do your job. You can't play within a system that's already broken. Like, that. It doesn't work like that. Look, because I think if Mueller was in charge now, and you know, Biden was president or some other Democrat was president, I think Mueller's end game would have been very different. He would just been like, here it is. Even if he just laid it out and didn't say it, it's like, here it is. And then a real attorney general would be like, oh, I actually read it. I didn't just try to redact a bunch of shit out of it that I didn't care for. I'm going to, you know, we're going to go forward with this prosecution or indictment. But Yeah, that's a different – it was a totally different scenario. Look, the fact that Mueller didn't – or excuse me. Yeah, the fact that Mueller didn't get fired during that whole thing is amazing. Like, it's it really is amazing. And I'm sure that's not for lack of trying. I'm sure Trump woke up every goddamn day like, get this guy the fuck out of here. Why am I employing a guy who's working on my destruction? But we're luckily past all that now. He is – I think, and I don't want to say for sure because God knows we have seen this shit blow up in our faces multiple times. I think Trump is pretty fucked though on this. I think he's legitimately fucked. It's just a matter of whether or not the Department of Justice has the balls to go after him.
Yeah, that wasn't the only Trump news that came out this week about the documents.
No, go for it.
Yeah, so apparently. Not only where the people at Mar-a-Lago stashed the documents from the FBI when they were invited in, like this is pre-raid, like this is when they're just like, hey, you got this shit, let us get this stuff, and they're like, yeah, no problem. They actually like practiced hiding the documents when they knew the FBI was coming, and not only that, but Evan Corcoran, who was one of Trump's attorneys at the time. Was trying in good faith to comply with the subpoena. Mm-hmm. And so he was trying to go into like Trump's office to be like, oh, I'm going to see if there's, you know, some classified documents here to hand over. And people on Trump's team to Trump's lawyer were like, hey, you don't want to go in there. You don't want to see what's behind that door. And he's like, no, I really do. And they're like, you really don't. Trust us. There's nothing, no classified documents in there.
Wink. What an idiot, dude. He just had them in his office. He's showing them to people, apparently.
Bro, and now Evan Corcoran's cooperating with Jack Smith's team, basically.
Good luck. God bless. And because of that, because he apparently showed them off to other people, probably this Iran attack idea. Amongst many other documents, I'm sure. He can now be charged under the Espionage Act. Cool.
and by the way, so we mentioned before that this country does have a problem with overclassification. Like there are a ton of documents in the US that are classified that really shouldn't be, that require clearances that, you know, that aren't really necessary. A document that kind of spells out the plan of a hypothetical attack on Iran does not fall under that fucking purview.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so. But Brad, maybe you're being a little too hasty. Surely this isn't something. I mean, you know, classified documents are ending up on Discord, for God's sake. Surely, like, is this really that bad? But yeah, the idea of him showing off these documents to other people, and I'm sure it's just like some douchebag rich guy at fucking Mar-a-Lago who's like, bro, come into the office, look at this, like some dick measuring contest, right? Like I was gonna attack Iran and then they told me I couldn't because I was so awesome.
Well, that's, you know, whatever. Well, it's so funny if that's what damns him, because that's the type of rich asshole that he is. That's exactly the type of person he is. Like, it's not enough to just be rich. It's like, no, I have to show you how fucking rich I am. Like a guy that's going to fucking whip out his classified Iran attack documents is exactly the same dude who fucking has a golden toilet in his bathroom.
Absolutely. Yeah. Him being taken down by his own unbelievable Roman tragedy level hubris. This makes all the sense in the world to me. Of all of the things, him just bragging to other rich people about his access is pitch perfect the way I want those fucking jail doors to slam in his face. Like, that is perfect, the type of shit. And it's exactly who he is. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, check this out, dude. It's so fucking cool. I'm awesome. Look at this. You don't have one of these.
That's the funny thing.
That's a guy who should go to prison.
That's the funny thing, is you could have just told that story, right? Like, you could have just fucking told somebody, like, oh, yeah, like,
documents. Yeah, the documents, you idiot.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to be like, look, I got it on paper. Like, check this shit out.
Nope. Come on. He can't help himself. He can't help himself. Come on. But look, I'm here for him fucking his life up. I truly, truly am. I couldn't think of it happening to a better guy. but that's crazy. I love that they did a dress rehearsal of moving these documents. Like, apparently Jack Smith's team interviewed like janitors and like all these other sort of, you know, lower level people working all around. Now, these guys are like diming him out like crazy because they don't want to go to fucking federal prison.
No, absolutely. And again, like, we talked about consciousness of guilt.
Yep.
Having a fucking plan in place to be like, hey, move the secret documents when the FBI comes because we want to keep these. Again, like, it's right. If true, it's right fucking there. Like, if he has proof of this, you're done. You're done.
Yeah, you're done.
Look, because there's no way they would have done that unless under his instruction.
100%.
Because why else would they?
So. Yeah. I don't want to touch those fucking documents. Are you out of your mind? Absolutely not. Incidentally, this picture in that story, this is a room at Mar-a-Lago. Jesus Christ, this is like the most garish shit I've ever seen.
Are you surprised?
I'm not, but like, yes, a little bit. Like, God, rich people have no sense of style. Just
no, he has no sense of style. Again, you've said it before, and I'll say it again. He is what a poor person's idea of a rich person is, yeah. Essentially.
Absolutely. It's true. I think that's Dana Gould has that joke. If I was rich, I would have a hair made of gold. Like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly who he is.
Yeah, I think this is one of the ballrooms is the picture you're referring to at the top of this article here.
Just looks fucking awful.
Yeah, just a lot of fucking like gold, you know, like gold trim on the fucking ceiling barristers and bullshit. It's so garish.
It's so fucking garish. This is hilarious because I had not, I had actually not looked at the image for this article. That is really funny. I thought my computer was having a problem at first.
No, it's not your computer that's the problem in this case. It was,
Oh, wonderful. Ron DeSantis announces he's running for president on Twitter, and it was a disaster with a picture of Ron DeSantis upside down. shout out to the folks at Kotaku. I did not watch this live on Twitter because I have a life.
Right.
But apparently old Meatball Ron decided that he was going to do his announcement for running for president, which is a real job, on Twitter, which is not real.
Yes, I do want to stress that point. Is he wanted to announce his presidential run on an app that I don't know 7% of the public in the U.S. engages with on a regular basis. You know what I mean? So they're doing it on Twitter Spaces. Obviously, this is just a fucking, you know, circle jerk with Elon Musk. You know, to because Elon Musk is going to be a prominent supporter of DeSantis because he has previously said that, you know, oh, like I'd vote for Ron DeSantis because, you know, famously centrist Elon Musk is actually a hardcore Republican. I know we're all shocked. So they go on Twitter Spaces and they start the stream and there's like 400,000 people, give or take. And basically there's just like 20 minutes of silence. And echo and static and just fucking
did you watch
all sorts? Thing? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Get the fuck out of here. I told you and I said in the Discord, like, them doing this in addition to them announcing like, oh, we're actually going to be hosting a bunch of stuff for Daily Wire in video format. That was enough for me to delete my Twitter account. Like, I'm done with Twitter at this point. I'm fucking gone. Fuck you, Elon Musk. Like, I'm not even giving you my attention. And basically, like, It was just a fucking clown show. Like, you know, they kept hearing like feedback and stuff like this, and then, you know, like throat clearing, and it was another 20 minutes, and then they had to end the stream and start a new stream, which had like a quarter of the people, and it was hilarious. So like Elon Musk was there to, you know, quote unquote, interview DeSantis like during this announcement, and David Sacks, who is one of Elon Musk's like fuck buddies, in you know, with PayPal, was moderating it, and he was like, "Oh, like this group of 100,000 people, this is the largest group that has ever met online before," which is demonstrably proven false. Like there's so many other instances.
That's 100% false. Yeah,
of online spaces that were far more populated than 100,000. To which AOC pointed out that when she played Among Us on Twitch with Hassan Piker, they had over 400,000 views viewers watching concurrently at the same time.
Yeah, and they were playing a video game.
Like, yes.
Okay. Like, whatever. So, yeah, it's look, Ron DeSantis is a dork. And I don't mean that in like, hey, man, he knows technology and he's just kind of an awkward guy. No, I mean, he's a loser. And this is textbook what a loser would do. Because a loser who is obsessed with the power of a billionaire douchebag, Elon Musk, this is what they would do. Well, Elon's really popular and everyone likes him. Dude, people hate Elon Musk. He made me sell, he's making me sell my car. Okay. Like, I don't want it anymore. I don't. I'm in the same boat as the dude from Pod Save America, John Lovett. Mm-hmm. He's like, the keys are in the car outside. Just take it. I'm so tired of driving it. Like, yeah, he's in the same boat I'm in, dude. It's embarrassing. So, like,
and again, I have to point out how crazy that is to, because, like, typically, with brands that you associate with, you don't tie them to personalities. But he goes out of his way so much to tie himself to his brands. And he's so abhorrent and so obnoxious and such a fucking loser that he literally makes people like not want to engage with brands that he owns because he's a fucking idiot.
Yes. Yeah. Look, I see all of you out there. All of you liked Tesla before. And then he went on Joe Rogan and started acting like an asshole, and everyone immediately turned against it. Immediately. There were people who were like, I don't like Elon Musk, like years ago, whatever. But the vast majority of people who were like, fuck Elon Musk today, were not saying that beforehand. But because he's such a toxic dickbag, he has ruined that brand. I really like that car, man.
And again, like people like Tesla, because like there, here he was. He was this guy. He helped make PayPal. Okay, cool. Like, you know, he's making Tesla. He's making cars. Cool. And he just is kind of there. And you're like, whatever. Like, smart dude. Like, he's kind of Jeff Bezos-y. Like, you know, whatever. And then, like you said, he started opening his fucking mouth. And it was like, oh. Like, I'm pretty sure that, like, Jeff Bezos probably has a lot of the same tendencies if he were equally to actually get out there
equally
and start running his mouth. But you know what? Jeff Bezos is smart enough not to make himself the fucking face of Amazon, because he knows that if people don't like him and if they hate him so much that they're going to stop using Amazon, because every time they see fucking Amazon, they're gonna think of Jeff Bezos' stupid alien head and be like, oh my god, I'm not gonna fucking use that brand anymore.
Yeah, no, it's a fact. It's a fact, right? Like, Bezos is tied to Amazon just by name, and like, people know him. Like, people still tie Bill Gates to Microsoft, right? Like, that's inevitable. But they're not so hard tied that you won't use their product. Plenty of people hate Bill Gates, log into Windows, and then write terrible comments about Bill Gates on the internet, right? Like, so they don't.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what Jeff Bezos' opinion on George Soros is. I couldn't tell you what Jeff Bezos thinks about the state of the Republican Party in this day and age. I can tell you what Elon Musk thinks about those things, and he's a fucking douche.
Right, exactly. So, like, this idea that someone like Ron DeSantis would tie himself to
Elon Musk proves how out of step he is with the vast majority of people, dude. Look, Ron DeSantis rightfully is concentrating on the right wing, right? That's, he's jumping into a primary. You got to do that. But never forget, dude, there is a primary and then there is a general election. You tie yourself too hard to these type of figures, you're going to have a really hard time moving away from them and moving to the center. Elon Musk is not a center figure. He used to be. He used to be before people knew anything about him, but he's not anymore.
I will actually dispute one of your points. You say he's fighting for the right wing, or, you know, for the right wing, and he is. But I say that that fight is also misguided, because his, what is his main central tenet? Like, what is his main platform that he's running on right now?
The anti-woke shit. Yeah.
Anti-wokeism.
Yep.
Go interview your average Republican voter. Go talk to your average Republican voter out there. Don't even talk to your average voter. Go talk to your average Republican voter who's not, like, fucking jacked into the Matrix and, like, and fucking online as hell. And talk about wokeism and the woke mind virus to them. They're going to look at you like you have five fucking heads. Because if you aren't extremely online...
He did use the term woke mind virus as an adult, which is wild.
Yeah, if you're not extremely online, you don't know what the fuck that is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, but he even said that. Like, he said that during this launch. We're going to destroy the left, the woke mind virus. And it's just like, dude, talk to me about your economic policies. Talk to me about, I mean, policies. Yeah, Republicans don't have policies anymore. They just have things they put in place to destroy other people's lives. But talk about the things that are going to make people's lives better, not things you are going to hinder other people's lives to own the libs. To own the libs does not actually help Republican voters, right? That may make some of them, that 10% or whatever, 15% of them, that might make them feel good for the moment, but they're still eating ramen noodles, my dude. How do you fix that that problem? How do you get them not eating fucking mayonnaise sandwiches? How do you fix that? And he doesn't have any solutions. The Republican Party doesn't have any solutions. That's why everything you hear from Ron DeSantis is culture war bullshit. All of it is culture war bullshit, because he can't just be like, here is my plan to make the economy better. Like, he doesn't have it. And it shows in how he's acting around his launch. It shows how he's acting in Florida. And it's going to be super interesting to have him and Donald Trump try to duke it out when neither one of them have any fucking actual policies. But that works for Republicans, because they take the most threadbare fucking candidates and they elevate them like they're two fucking geniuses. And I just do not understand them.
Yep.
But I'm not an idiot. And a lot of them are, I guess.
Yeah. It's going to be those two, like, fucking battling out over the dumbest shit possible. And then, like, you're going to have, like, three normal Republicans that are trying to talk like typical election stuff, just fucking drowned out by the nonsense as Trump and DeSantis like unite, like, you fucking nerds, like, shut up, we're talking about the shit that actually matters, like wokeism and crap like that.
Wokeism, absolutely, so good. Yeah, it will be very interesting to see what he does, but this launch has not gone well for him. But now he's in the game. Look, I got to tell you, if I was looking at the numbers and I was looking at how I was being perceived and received prior to this past week, I'd have been like, nah, you know what? I'll see you in 2028. Like, I wouldn't have run.
I was going to say, let me take a powder for the next couple of years. Like, I'm going to enjoy fucking running my state and fighting Mickey Mouse, and then we'll jump on the campaign trail after my term's done.
Yeah, I'll start campaigning around 2026, start revving people up for the Ron DeSantis fucking free for all, right? Against potentially a unknown Democrat at this point. Like, I wouldn't have run in 2024. Look, your name is hot, I get it, but I feel like you're going to lose, and then that's going to be the end of your entire career. But, you know, best of luck. Maybe you'll run for, you know, maybe he'll run for Senate or something in Florida, which is disturbing as fuck anyway. But yeah, latching on to Elon Musk and trying Twitter Spaces is maybe the dumbest thing I could think of. What is even the 14th Amendment, man? Like,
Everyone's talking about it, much like Frederick Douglass. We're hearing a lot about it these days.
That's right.
It's getting more and more popular every day. Trump promises to violate the 14th Amendment on day one. I know what you're thinking. No, he doesn't. Surely that's not true. No, but it is. So he decided that he was going to come out and say, listen, in the 14th Amendment, it says that anyone born on American soil is an American citizen. Right? I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it means. Or that's one tenet of the 14th Amendment. Trump is like, on day one, I'm passing a law. Nah, we not doing that.
No, not even passing a law. Signing an executive order.
Oh, the executive
order. That's his plan. Right. Yeah, that's his plan. Like, I'm not even going to Congress. I'm just going to fucking write it down on a piece of paper. Birthright citizenship, get the fuck out of here. We don't want you anymore.
Right. Pretty sure that's not how that's going to work. But according to Trump, yeah, he's gonna do it. And look, that's a bold thing to say.
Here's my question. So, like, obviously he would get sued immediately, like, after that happens.
Yes.
Does this – so, like, remember with the travel ban, when he did that shit, the conservative Supreme Court was like, oh, we're going to let that shit rock while we wait to hear this case that's brought in front of us.
Yeah.
I don't see how they'd be able to do that in this situation because, again, it's literally in the Constitution. But who knows? They can always surprise us.
Yeah, like, dude – I wish I could find that quote from him. He was like, so the quote from the 14th Amendment, by the way, is all persons born or naturalized in the United States. That's not the actual quote I want. Cause it's the quote I'm looking for. It's just basically, oh, here you go. No, that's not it either. Basically, like, you know, if you're born on a territory, like, if you're guaranteed that most people who are born in the U.S. or people who are born in the U.S. or in a territory, they are American citizens. Trump's point, which is a wild one, was that's misinterpreted. Like, it was the most plain language. Like, what is misinterpreted about it? Like, it's such a bizarre, like, statement. Like, to say that, like, I was like, I'm totally confused. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and are subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States in the state wherein they reside. There is nothing else to read from that of, dude, you're born here, you're a citizen, right? There's no like, well, what about, blah, blah, blah. This is from the same group of people who argue about a well-regulated militia, which is absolutely nuanced. They try to take all nuance out of it. Now they're trying to generate nuance to shove into a very plainly made statement. This is
But Jay.
Yes.
You're discounting the fact that the founders, who didn't even write the 14th Amendment, by the way, didn't consider the fact that there'd be illegal Mexicans running over our borders with fentanyl.
Pouring over, Brad.
Every
pouring.
Single day.
Yeah.
Like you've seen World War Z, right? Like, literally that's what it looks like when the illegal Mexicans are coming in from the southern border. And if the founding fathers, who didn't write the 14th Amendment, had seen that, they surely would have not put such a blanket, you know, a blanket amendment in place.
Which is an interesting argument, and I would agree with you. If two ways I would agree with you. One, for some odd reason, my brain just stopped functioning. Right? Like, just fully end of this. It's done. And number two, if they kept that same energy on the Second Amendment, because surely when the founders, who actually wrote the Second Amendment, would have known that AR-15s existed in the future,
they had seen an AR-15, and they're like, what the fuck is that? And some fucking runner's like, check this shit out, and fucking fires off like 60 rounds in 45 seconds. They'd have been like, oh, no. Like, we're not doing this.
No, we can't change that.
tell you what. Just get rid of all the guns. Like we don't need – if this is what it's going to lead to, we don't need any guns. Sticks with spears taped to the end of them. That's as far as we're willing to go from a technology standpoint here in America.
Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you can't make the argument that if the founders had blah, 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 that's why we need to change it. Cool. Then let's make the same argument. Look, I'll give you this. I'll make a wild compromise. As a liberal, I'll make the wildest compromise. I'll compromise the 14th Amendment on birthright citizenship if you compromise on the Second Amendment. Let's see if you break on that. I'll trade you. Like, guess what? If I can get the Second Amendment as it really means, if we want to go back and change it to what it really means, that means that anyone who is not in a regulated militia has to give up all of their guns. By the way, if you're in a regulated militia, you have to give us your serial numbers. You have to register with the government. We got to know where all your guns are. Yada, yada, yada. If you don't want to do that, we take away your guns. I will give you birthright citizenship. You can have it. Fair, straight up trade. Just because you're born here, we're going to have a discussion about that. Give me your guns. I'm not worried because you're never going to give that up.
You heard it here first, everybody. Jay hates anchor babies. Like he fucking hates DACA. He thinks they're the worst.
Look, I got to tell you, I put in this in the docket. I don't hate anchor babies is such a terrible term. I don't hate birthright citizenship, incidentally. But I just want to clarify. But I did say that we have to go all the way back to 2018. A little history here, guys. A story written by in The Week. But this was also written in the New York Times, The Guardian, a bunch of other places, about Russia birth tourists are flocking to Miami and to Trump condos to give birth to become American citizens. This is 2008. This is in the middle of the Trump presidency. A growing number of pregnant Russian women have been traveling to Miami to give birth, with their wealthier ones buying birth tourism packages, and those of more modest means putting together DIY packages. Giving birth in the United States, and Miami in particular, is a status symbol in Moscow. Yeah, because they knew that America and Russia were on very friendly fucking terms during the Trump administration, so they were flocking to bring their children or their pregnant selves here and giving birth to these children so they could become American citizens. Now, that's one part of that story. Same year, Trump is at this point railing against chain migration. I'm against it. I'm going to get rid of it. Blah, 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 blah. Right? Didn't do it for that 4 years, by the way. Why? Because doing that is impossible because, again, it's in the fucking Constitution. But as he's railing against this, there's a little known story. A woman of meager means she is an American citizen, and she was able to use chain migration she was over the age of 21. She was able to sponsor her parents to become American citizens. And that did in fact happen. That person, you may know her. You may know her. I don't know.
I know where this is going.
Melania Trump got her parents through chain migration because she got in on an Einstein visa. Okay, guys. Sure. Okay. She got in to the U.S. on an Einstein visa and became an American citizen. And she used chain migration years later to get her parents to have American citizenship. While Trump is bitching and complaining about this, while he's talking about getting rid of this, Melania, I don't know her personally, but I'm guessing not a person who actually qualified for an Einstein visa. Actually knew a guy, him and his wife, who actually did qualify. They were fucking a lot smarter than Melania, incidentally. She was able to get her parents in, but that was fine.
I gotta tell you.
I don't think you hate the law, dude. I think you hate brown people. I think that's the problem.
I think you're right. But also, what I think you're missing is, I think if a policy exists that immediately makes it easier for your in-laws to come and go from the country, I think that might lend to wanting to get rid of it. So I kind of understand
He should have done it beforehand. He was like, oh, I made a great mistake. We got to get these people the fuck out of here. How do we rescind citizenship? They're here every day. Get them out of here. No, I just think that's such bullshit. And he just proves, like, he didn't give a fuck about this when it was benefiting his in-laws. They didn't give a fuck about this when it was benefiting white Russians coming into this country and giving birth. They only give a shit about it when it has to do with brown people. Now, granted, people do this, right? People from South American countries, in Mexico specifically, right North America, they come over and they're like, hey, man, getting across the border, I'm going to have this kid. Boom. That kid's an American citizen because there's, you know, great benefits of that. You know, they potentially can live a great life and everything else. Is that necessarily the best thing in the world to happen? Maybe, maybe not, right? I'm not even of the mindset of like, it's fine, you should never think about it. Like, you should think about it. And like, is that a thing that is sustainable? However, you can think about that. You can have a conversation about it. You can have a real deep conversation. You can even disagree with it. But what you can't do is pretend it's not in the fucking Constitution and it's not very plainly stated that they get to do that. I mean, look, again, if we're talking about you want to have a nuanced conversation about an amendment to the Constitution, I am fine with that.
Yeah, let's pull together a constitutional convention. Okay, yeah. I guess. All right,
I got one I'd like to tee up. Let's talk about it.
While you're here.
We should put it to a vote to all Americans. Okay, can we put this one to a vote to all Americans? You sure? Like, look, again, you either want nuance, you either want detail and nuance in a conversation or you don't. And they don't want a nuanced, detailed conversation about the Second Amendment, but they absolutely want one when it comes to the 14th Amendment.
Oh, not just about the 14th, about literally every other amendment. And this is the same guy who's like, we got to tighten up these libel laws. I'm like, do we? I don't know. I don't feel like we do. Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to sue everybody. I feel like the libel laws work just fine. You just want to sue people for shit they say that's true about you. Look, here's how I know the libel laws work. A woman defamed Cardi B, and now she's filing for bankruptcy because the judge was like, you owe Cardi B $3.4 million. Like, yeah. She said some shit about her. It wasn't true. She was like, that's cool. I'm going to sue your ass. And she won. Libel laws are working just fine. Like, yeah, Trump just wants to use it to weaponize it so people cannot comment on anything he does. That's not the same. Get the fuck out of here with this 14th Amendment bullshit. The desire to raise the minimum wage is hitting a fever pitch. This is actually pretty interesting. 74% of voters support raising the federal minimum wage to $20 an hour. Which is roughly about, if you're a full-time employee, that's roughly about $40,000 a year. It's not bad. The way America's going, I think you kind of need to. Like, shit's super expensive, man.
I find it interesting that there is this much support. I also hate to be the bearer of bad news and let you know that that doesn't fucking matter because there's no appetite in the legislature to actually do anything about this, because there's similar people who approve of abortion access at a similar clip in the country, and yet Republicans are still trying to narc that every single place that they can.
Right, and then also go on TV and tell you, and lie to your face and tell you that almost no one supports the Democrats' position. support is strongest among Democrats, with 89% saying they favor raising the minimum wage to $20 an hour. But independents and Republicans back the idea as well, with 74% and 60% support from both groups, respectively. So 74% of independents agree with it and 60% of Republicans. This is a bipartisan fucking solution, man. Like, you can't get 89% of Democrats and 60% of Republicans that agree on damn near anything. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You can't get them to agree that puppies are cute. Like, it's just simply like unheard of. Now, this is the longest we've gone without a increase. It's been a 14-year stretch without an increase to the federal minimum wage, and with its value reaching its lowest point in 67 years. So it's what, 725?
725. Right. Which is insane, by the way. Like that, it's unconscionable that this has not moved at all for, you know, damn, a fucking decade and a half. Like, that's crazy to me. Yet inflation keeps on trucking unabated, and corporate right. profits have never been better.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fucking problem, is that in theory, we shouldn't need a federal minimum wage to govern this shit. Like, corporations should behave responsibly in theory and pay. I said in theory. I'm not speaking as if that's in reality. They should behave responsibly and pay their workers living wages that increase alongside the increase in cost of goods and things of that nature. Of course, that doesn't happen because corporations are greedy fucks who want to keep every single cent they can to send out to their investors. Again, like if right wingers are so adamant about fucking overthrowing the government, why don't they do it for shit that actually matters like this? A couple of years ago we saw that wage inequality was at roughly the levels in the US that it was right before the French Revolution kicked off. Mm-hmm. And like that, they were big men and they're like, "Oh, we're going out in the streets and we're fucking hanging people."
Yeah,
like,
we're like, lopping like the heads off, dude.
Coming out. Yeah, let's fucking go. So they're lucky. Like I feel like that, you know, public officials are lucky that it hasn't gotten to that point. I feel like honestly, corporations are lucky that it hasn't gotten to that point, because Jesus Christ, that's who you should really be mad at. It's gonna, and like with anything else, this is gonna have to be on a state by state level. Like much like with weed legalization, it's gonna take a shitload of states, the majority of states, to adopt this, mm-hmm. for the federal government to take it up. Because right now there's four states that have a minimum wage of $15.
Right. Yeah. And like, so we just had this fight. We just had this argument, and I can see this mm-hmm. kicking up again across social media and everywhere else. We just had this argument of, is $15 an hour? Is like, is that too much? Why are the people at McDonald's making $15 an hour? Like, what you should be asking yourself is, why do you feel like you should be making so little? Because that's the argument is like, mm-hmm. they shouldn't be making 15 because I only make 20 or I only make 18 an hour. The question is, why are you only making that? Because you probably deserve more than that. If you work for a big corporation.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing too, is that people who aren't earning minimum wage, like when minimum wage goes up, everybody's salaries go up, because then you can't be, you know, your salary can't stay stagnant if someone who's doing a job that's not as skilled as yours is all of a sudden like making more money overnight. Like, you're like, hey, I need to get that bump too, because there needs to be, you know, some disparity between between what I'm making and what they're making. This isn't fucking communist Russia, my dude. Like, let's fucking go.
Right. I'm not scrubbing toilets and being a doctor. We're making the same dollars. Like, that's crazy. Right. Like, and you know, no offense to people scrubbing toilets. But like this idea that there's always this argument, right? These same silly bullshit arguments of like, where business is going to get the money to give $20 an hour?
They have the money. They already have the money. They're good.
And look, and if you say, hey man, like, I'm a small business, right? Like, I run a pizza shop. I got a bunch of teenagers in here running pizzas for me or whatever, or making pizzas. I can't afford $20 an hour. Allow me to explain to you how the economy works. If everyone is at a minimum making $20 an hour, more people have money to buy pizzas. Henceforth, you will make more money because more people have more disposable income to buy the pizzas. If you leave them at the same price and not try to screw people over by suddenly raising the price of pizza by $5, but if you leave it at the same price, then you get more pizza sold. Thus, you make more money, thus making up for the difference of having to pay little Johnny and little Susie who work at your pizza shop the increased wage. If you want to say, hey man, we got to stagger it, maybe I can't go from $7.25, which I pay them, which by the way...
Oh, it wouldn't happen overnight. Like it would have to stagger. for sure.
Right. If you want to do a step program across the federal government and say, hey, man, like it's 725 in 2023, it jumps to 10, 25 in 2022, and then in 2 years, it jumps up to 18 or 15, 75 or whatever, and then the last jump across like 4 years, it jumps up to $20. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with that. Look, you slow rolling it. I know some people are like, hit the button today. I get it. I'm okay with increasing
Can't do that. Can't shock the economy. doesn't work that way.
Right. So I get that. But people
also
people
to the
have
point
to
of,
understand, like, you can still do it. You just cannot do it overnight.
Right. And also to your point of small businesses, last I checked, federal small business subsidies would still be a thing. Like it's not like those would be going away. Like, small businesses get help from the government to kind of compensate for that because they understand to be competitive against, like, these big companies. You know, you can't be charging like out your ass for stuff to pay your wages. Like, no, they're like, yeah, we have to help you out a little bit with that. They get money. They get a little bit of money back from the feds.
Right. So, like, this idea of not paying people a living wage, like, you got to remember, man, the idea of the minimum wage is literally like a job going, I'd pay you less if I could, but the government says I'm not allowed. That's not a lot of money. It's not a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, how many states, like, there's always those charts of like what it would cost to rent an apartment in each state or whatever on average. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, if you don't make at least like $35,000 to $40,000, you're living in squalor, basically, in most like major cities. You can't afford to live. Like, I don't understand how people live in like major cities making like, oh, I only make $25,000. I don't get
And that's
it.
And that's the other thing is that, like, minimum wage hasn't gone up, but like there's also been no restriction on rent increases. There's been no restriction on, you know, like cost of essential goods and how much they're allowed to increase over time because companies are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want. There's no restrictions to, you know, to what they have to adhere to, because it's all about, let's make that money, profit, fucking make money at all costs, which fucking sucks. And again, this is why I will never understand people that beat the drum of capitalism, because capitalism is for capitals to succeed no matter the cost. And that's not the way to build a functional society. And to your point, the economy would thrive, capitalism would thrive if more people had more money to spend, especially people who generally make less money, because they'd finally be able to buy shit that they weren't able to afford before that they really want. Right. Because that's just kind of like, you know, you'd have irresponsible spenders out there. I don't understand why capital why that light bulb doesn't fucking dawn on their head, because again, they're focused on the here and now. They're not focused on what you could build.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Look, you gotta understand that you cannot, like, you quite literally cannot have a functioning economy if the vast majority of people are starving. You can't. Mm-hmm. Like, it does not work. What you need are people being able to make money and taking that money and putting it back into society to help build it. You know, rising tide helps all boats, man. Like, and if you're just keeping the people at the bottom of the financial market, if you're just keeping them there and prices are rising and rising and rising at the same time and they're not moving, you're just, dude, you are building a scenario where people will feel desperate. And that is why crime is, you know, I don't believe in the Republican, this is a crime wave, like, relax, Dick Tracy, like, it's just calm the fuck down. But there is a rise in what, like, they'd use it as a scare tactic. Like, oh, if you go outside, they're going to fucking stab you or whatever. Like, that's not what's happening. But there is a rise in petty crime, like really petty crime, like people stealing out of stores and stuff. And some of it is they're stealing out of stores just because they can, because, like, people are dicks, right? But a lot of it is people are stealing shit to survive. People are stealing shit so they can sell to survive, because either they don't have a job or the jobs that they have don't pay enough, right? Like, that's a reality. They're not – you know, like, there's not a crime wave of people stealing Maseratis, dude. This is a crime wave of people stealing, like, deodorant out of Target, right? Like, that's the that's the shit. And that's stuff to keep themselves going, or stealing stuff so that they can sell it to keep themselves going. Like, you have to recognize what the systemic issues are. And part of it is people don't make enough fucking money. They don't. They just don't. And you need to help people. It's not everybody who is doing this shit or is wrapped up in this shit are people who don't have jobs. A lot of them are the working poor. And the fact that in America, we have the working poor is insane. That is an insane thing to say out loud, because we shouldn't at all.
Yep. God, imagine like going cut back in time budget. to like the fucking 50s and 60s and like showing people that were like, hey, this is how people are living now. They'd be like, what the fuck? Like, how are you guys ruining all this cool shit we're doing right now?
Like, dude, idiots. Why didn't you guys just buy a house? They're a nickel. They're giving them away at the carnival. Oh, my God. Just shoot the water into the clown's mouth. They'll give you two houses. For God's sake, it's 1950. It's great here. Also, get that black person away from me. That's kind of how it is. It's still the 1950s. All right. This Week in Stupid.
Okay, here we go.
All right, let's go, Brad. Please tell me you haven't seen the story.
I have not.
Oh, yes. All right.
I have not.
Former Trump advisor Michael Flynn, boy, is that burying the lead, is launching an online community for, quote, COVID-19 unvaccinated people, where you can find blood donors, surrogates, and unvaccinated singles. A founding membership costs you 2,500 bones.
I love the name. I love the name.
Yeah. For the number four.
The number four, yeah.
The Pure.
All caps.
For the Pure. I'm surprised he didn't say anything in his little video about keeping those filthy mudbloods out of his app. Jesus Christ. Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, Donald Trump's former national security advisor, can't stop getting in on the fucking grift. He's helped setting up this community called For the Pure. Again, very weird. Members can connect with blood donors, sperm donors, breast milk donors, surrogates, and other unvaccinated singles, according to the website. It will also have a directory of, quote, COVID-19 unvaccinated patriot businesses. Studies have shown, of course, that the vaccines don't have any deleterious effects on semen, nor is it unsafe to donate blood or breast milk if a donor is vaccinated. But that hasn't stopped these grifters and their moronic base. Brad, will you be purchasing surrogate breast milk from the For the Pure community?
I got to tell you, I'm looking at the membership rates here, and $2,500 per person, pretty expensive. But I don't know if you saw this, Jay. You buy 10 lifetime memberships, you get 5 for free. You can get 15 for just the small sum of $25,000.
I don't know, man. This sounds pretty – like this – you know, sometimes things sound too good to be true, Brad. I don't know.
There's no way that Mike Flynn's not going to get fucking arrested for wire fraud based on this, right?
100%, yeah. Yo, they're sending you guys like Cloverfield 2% milk, telling you it's for the pure breast milk. Don't buy this. Come on, Republicans. Don't be this stupid. Don't get grifted. This is unbelievably dumb. COVID, like, people who don't have the COVID vaccine, singles, so you can both end up in the hospital together. What are you doing? What
are you doing? Don't they already fucking have a fucking unvaccinated single site? Isn't it like fucking Christian Love or something like that? Like it's probably the Venn diagram is probably a perfect circle.
Yeah.
In that regard. So
I can't wait to sign up. $2,500 is wild. That's a wild cost. That's a wild cost. Like that feels like a
so good. Essentially what you're gaining access to for $2,500 is like a mailing list.
A directory of scientific ignoramuses. Businesses run by more of these ignoramuses.
I want to see a review. I do. Like, there's got to be, somebody's got to be putting up a review video on YouTube at some point of, like, women who have been flooded with a bunch of dumb gym bobs who've never, they're like, I don't get vaccinated and I don't wash my ass either. Trump 2024. Like, that's
I'm honestly shocked Directory of Idiots has not been a term used to describe the TNP Studios staff, because I feel like that's low hanging fruit.
Yeah, that's not bad. You guys can use that. This is awesome, man. This is really great.
Yeah, that's insane to me. I mean, on the other hand, like, putting aside the $2,500, like, I guess it's good that these insane people have a way to get these services if they're afraid to use them.
That's true.
Like, in the general public. So, like, you know, maybe one small silver lining cutting through the cloud of grift. In this case,
yeah,
I don't know that you should have to pay $2,500 to get access to that knowledge, but, you know,
right. Agreed. But also, like, it's good, I guess, that they're getting these services that they need. Also, I like that they have the singles, like, and all joking aside, I think that's really great, because that way those people don't reproduce with normal smart people. Like, mm-hmm. they just stay in their bubble of idiots who believe in, like, Magic the Gathering is, like, real science or whatever. And they can stay over there. And then they can produce children, and they probably don't believe in vaccines, so those kids won't even live that long. And then this bloodline thing will just fucking just be done with it sooner rather than later. And so that's fine.
I have a radical idea. How about – because at this point, like, you know, I don't know what the percentage of people that are vaccinated are in the country. I had to imagine, like, it's insanely high.
Well over 75%.
Yes. So with the exception of people who can't get vaccinated for medical reasons, who would really like to but literally cannot, what if and again, this is heading into, like, kind of like Japanese internment camp territory, so I'm a little hesitant, but I feel like that, you know, I feel like this is going to be good. What if we take all the unvaccinated people and just, like, move them to Wyoming? Right. And they can have Wyoming, and we can relocate all the vaccinated people in Cheyenne, because that's the only place where people live in Wyoming that, you know, that don't live in the sticks. And right. I feel like it'll be good for Wyoming because they'll get a nice, like, population influx.
Yeah.
And I feel like it'll be good for the rest of the country, because then all those idiots will be, you know, essentially quarantined in together. And we can call it quarantine-oming and like renaming the state. It'll be great. And then inevitably they'll get COVID, and it'll basically, like, hit the entire population of the state,
yeah, clear because
they're all going to be kind of right next to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm okay with that. I don't mind. I'll do you one better. Instead of, Wyoming, we could just put them on an island. Like, just build, like, but like a, like an oil rig platform, right? Like, not a nice island. Like, they don't get Hawaii. Fuck that. But just like an oil platform, like that one that blew up that Marky Mark was on in that one movie, right? Like, that's where they should stay. Just put them on there.
Can we trade, like, trazies with one of these, like, Caribbean islands with, like, France or the Netherlands or something
they don't get beachfront property.
Too nice.
No.
Mm-mm. Too nice. Okay.
Way too nice. I want them on a metal rig. Like, fuck that. So and then if you want to blow it up, that's also fine. I don't care. That's not true. I definitely care. I want you to blow it up. I'm not neutral on that at all. So yeah, look, it's, I think this is really ridiculous. Apparently overall 15.2% of US adults were unvaccinated during December 2021 to February of 2022, ranging from 5% in the District of Columbia to 29% in Wyoming. So there you go.
I didn't even know that. I literally just pulled Wyoming out of the air. And look, I'm being efficient by suggesting going to Wyoming.
They're already there. It's fine. Yeah, man. It is amazing that these guys are grifting this hard. I don't know if you saw, speaking of grifts, I don't know if you saw, but American Hero, Ashley Babbitt.
This is what I thought the story was. Like that yeah. that's the story that I thought you had put down there.
Chef's kiss. Ashley Babbitt's mom, who apparently is just as crazy as Ashley Babbitt, I guess tried to raise money in her daughter's name or what have you. Mm-hmm. And she was working with this guy. And by the way, if you don't know who Ashley Babbitt is, she's the genius who had a Trump flag tied around her neck like she was a little kid pretending to be a superhero as she stormed the Capitol. And she was the woman who got shot in the chest and died. A hero. And so her mom was like trying to raise money for her, like, oh, the Ashley Babbitt Foundation for like, you know, people who don't listen. And so and so so I'm being a dick. I'm happy your daughter died. She's a fucking insurrectionist. I'm sorry. Like, who cares? So the guy she was working with to like raise these funds, he like run this like fundraising thing. That dude grifted her and stole all the money, which is fucking hilarious. Good.
Yeah. Who could have seen this coming? Said nobody.
Right. Look, it was funny. I was talking to the guys from Black on Black Cinema the other day, and Terrence was like, "She died for Donald Trump." Like, can you imagine saying that out loud? Like, how insane that sounds. Like, yeah, it sounds ridiculous. Like. She died because of Donald Trump. Yeah,
it's
like
true.
You sacrifice for that guy. That guy doesn't give a fuck about you at all.
Yeah.
And she was
By the way, did you also hear that that QAnon Shaman has finished his prison term and he's now hawking like Q Shaman merch?
Yes, I did hear that. I did hear that, in fact. I mean, look, grifter's gonna grift, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
look, respect, don't wild. Don't hate the player, hate the game, as the old adage goes.
We never need to say that again. We simply do not. The QAnon Shaman, he'll be back. I'm sure he'll jump right back into something else stupid because he's a gullible moron. And then, you know,
if Trump wins, I think he's a shoo-in for Secretary of the Interior. You know, like I said, obviously he's very much in touch with a lot of indigenous roots, I guess you could say.
I guess so. I feel like that guy needs to be up front, right? Like that guy's got press secretary written all over him.
only if he wears the getup every single day.
Oh, you have to. The horns and everything. Like, hell yeah, right. Dude. Like, question for you in the front. Like, dude, what the fuck? Like, that's gonna be my question every single time you call him.
Yeah, is this a joke?
Like, what is your problem exactly? Look, if the QAnon Shaman, I will make a definitive deal with everyone listening. If the QAnon Shaman becomes the press secretary, we will officially apply for White House. Yeah. Access for Thugs of Nation. Because
I feel what like harm we could get it. I don't think we would not get it in that case. I'm pretty sure that we'd be a slam dunk.
No, they'd be like, oh, Thugs of News, those guys sound awesome. Yeah, fucking
God, like, we don't even need to vet their content.
No,
just fucking put them in here.
Just put them in here. Surely it'll be great. I mean, look, I'm the press secretary. I'll handle it. Okay. Yeah, the QAnon Shaman. The fact that person is real is sad all in itself. Like, in and of itself, it's just...
I would literally ask the same question every day. Like, yes, Thugs of News right down in front. Yeah, like, cool, thanks. What the fuck? Like we're just literally...
How are you still here? How are you still... The Mooch had 10 days. You've been here 11. Explain this to me. Amazing. All right, that is it for us this week. We will be back next week with another brand new episode.
See ya.
Bye.